Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
The pandemic has kind of leveled the playing field. It doesn't mean you're small now or starting, you're not going to win against the big guys. Because of the pandemic and the way the consumers' habits have changed, you know, the online business, the digital channels provides entrepreneurs the opportunity. I never imagined I would shop online before, RJ, but whenever I need something in my house or in my farm or spare parts, it's amazing how being just checking online provides you all of the answers. So for the entrepreneurs, they just have to be sure of what they want to become, what areas are they passionate about, and that they can compete in a wowing way. I will sound like a broken record, but if you're going to do something, go into a business, then trip lang, okay, para lang may business, I don't think it's really going to work. You've got to go all out, make sure you give it your darnest best, because you really want to provide something superior than what others would have.
And again, good evening, good afternoon, good morning from wherever you're watching from all over the world. And welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. It's a lovely Tuesday afternoon and really great news. The cases of COVID have dropped down to 17,000 today. So for me, I'm very, very happy for the rest of us living here in Metro Manila, praying that also the COVID cases, although there are surges all over the different parts outside of Metro Manila, may they decrease as fast as they increased. Again, thank you to everybody for tuning in to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. In my podcast, I interview the country's pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about their business, what are their success secrets, and can we hack those success secrets? How have they innovated their businesses during this pandemic? And more importantly, what opportunities do they see emerging in the new normal? Now, is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please do let us know. Drop us a message. And tonight, the guests, just like all the guests, I always repeat it every time here on the show, are very special. But this one, I really sought him out. And he's been an idol of mine for many, many years. I know he doesn't grant many interviews. He's the kind of guy who just likes to stay behind the scenes and be the person behind the growth of many successful food businesses. But fortunately, he appreciates what we're doing here, the show where we help entrepreneurs decode how to become better businessmen. And he also shares with us some of his secrets of how he has grown his business. At the same time, I'm very happy to have him here because our daughters are very good friends and they study at the same school. So very happy to have him here tonight. Our guest for tonight is Vic Gregorio of Shakey's Pizza Asia Ventures. Now, under his leadership, Shakey's has not only expanded to the Middle East and Singapore, but they've also acquired and brought in a lot of new restaurant brands under their portfolio, which include R&B Milk Tea, Peri Peri Chicken, and just recently, Potato Corner. Plus, they're bringing back, or they brought back, Project Pi. And I am so excited to hear the story of Vic here tonight. He can share with you how he rose from the ranks in Shakey's, from just being staff to operations manager to being president of Shakey's here locally. Then finally, Shakey's, the company that was IPO'd and is now, you know, bringing Shakey's to all over the world. I want to see how he has orchestrated the turnaround of our beloved pizza brand Shakey's. Again, please welcome my good friend. Please welcome Vic Gregorio to the show.
Hey there, RJ.
Finally.
Finally. Happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Boss Vic. I love Boss Vic. I have to tell you, there are so many people. When they knew who you were coming to the show, they were so excited because, I mean, people outside of the industry might not know who you are, but people like from the industry. They were just saying, hey, wow, this is a great time. I've wanted to hear from you for such a long time. So thanks for accepting my invitation.
Yeah. Well, first of all, good day to all your hundreds of millions of fans here in the Philippines. No? You're my idol, RJ. But yes, I'm excited, like I said. I'm sorry it took a while because this is we're in a crisis, no? So I hear that workload is really tough.
But like you say, and you'll share with us later on, even in a crisis, there is opportunity. And that's exactly what happened to Shakey's. Now, let's talk about the big news. I mean, Shakey's series of great acquisitions that you've made in the past couple of years. In fact, even in the midst of this acquisition, you made a really great, which it just hit the news recently, that you guys just acquired Potato Corner. Tell us a bit more about that one. I mean, my partner, Jomag, is here. I'm so excited that you guys are coming together. I'm sure you're going to build this brand much bigger. But tell us a bit more. How excited are you that you bring Potato Corner under Shakey's?
We're doubly or triple times more excited, RJ. In fact, you know, the way we see it, it's such great fortune that we're able to have a brand and be entrusted to us. A brand that is so loved and has grown through the years. I've seen this brand from one kiosk to the thousands it had once in the market and abroad. So we just feel so blessed and so thankful that the owners and Jomag and his group, you know, entrusted to us their baby. And of course, now we're excited and challenged to make sure we sustain and further grow the PC brand. So
wow.
Really looking to great times ahead.
Now, I'm sure that, you know, you and Jomag, you both are colleagues. You've worked together in the Philippine Franchise Association. So at least there was a connection already from there. But, you know, what I find interesting is that, you know what, I'm sure that in relationship terms, maraming lumiligaw sa Potato Corner. Pero kayo yung pinili, di ba? Parang that's how I feel.
Again, yes. That's why we feel very privileged and very thankful. The brand is definitely the most outstanding brand when it comes to MSMEs franchisable concepts, right? Has always been right up there. And this model is rather different to what we and Shakey's have been used to. You know? We're the brick and mortar, the big box, big investment. But this has a special role to play in our portfolio. It's the leader in this category. And it has a very special mission of helping the small and medium-sized and budding entrepreneurs. You know? And for us, we're a strong believer of that. And that is one of the main reasons why we thought this was a good catch. That's something we look forward to.
What do you think made Potato Corner attractive? What made you think that the Shakey's group would be attractive to Potato Corner? What do you think were the synergies or the shared values that were coming out?
We've had something in our minds, a set of parameters that we feel would be good for acquiring concepts and brands. And you know, Potato Corner just has a big check on all the boxes. One, it is a category leader by far, right? And also, it is something that can still be scaled up even some more, you know? Kudos and really hats off to the PC group who created this, the founders, and the one who made it grow, led by Jomag. But there's still potential for PC, and that's really very exciting. Second, it's accretive. We studied it, we made our due diligence, we feel it will contribute, even make the Spavi or the Shakey's group even more financially robust. And we're raring to, you know, invest in this brand even more, help it even grow exponentially so that all stakeholders under the PC ecosystem will really benefit. And that is something we're very confident that can happen very soon.
Wow. So can we expect very soon to be able to order PC, Potato Corner, from Shakey's?
You know, why not? We've done similar things, you know, with our other brands. We had this acquisition, one of the leading Singapore milk teas, R&B. And you know what? We got them, we signed on the dotted line before the pandemic. And we had a plan. And then all of a sudden, this pandemic came and everything that we made, that we designed, was almost useless. And we had to pivot. And we thought of bringing this concept within 100 or so Shakey's branches. And it worked. It was like, it was even doing more than what we would have done if we opened just 4 or 5 stores. So PC can be a very great and complementary brand to the other brands we have.
Wow. So, I mean, this is interesting. So that's actually what was going to be my next point. There's actually a silver lining in this pandemic that you're able to, when you relook the business model for R&B milk tea, which I know you got from Singapore, instead of just having one single store brand, now it's in 120 stores together with Shakey's, which is a great anchor brand as well for R&B.
There was always this synergy we were after for with all the brands that we go for, you know, like Peri Peri. It is the roasted chicken concept and sauce bar. And then we have this, we saw in the data that milk tea was one of the strongest off-premise products demanded by consumers. And, you know, we've seen this milk tea go up and down the industry, and we realize it's meant to stay. This is like the third wave or fourth wave of the milk tea industry, but this time it's different. And all of these brands in the portfolio are meant to be the leaders in their category, and we want to make sure the synergies are optimized. And we see that happening actually, especially during the pandemic.
Yeah, and I want to get to the story later on of how, you know, people, of course, to our mind, even just the name itself, Shakey's, evokes that it is a pizza brand, but it's more than just a pizza brand. It's developing restaurants which are category leaders in each of the categories that they choose to play in. I mean, that's what I'm picking up from you right now.
Yeah, I once read a book, came upon a book by Jack Welch, you know, Straight from the Gut. And this guy, had one idea. Just focus on business. It can be number one, number two in the category. Every business they had, they reviewed that even if it was doing well or profitable, but it had no chance to be number one, number two, you know, he said it wouldn't be really worthwhile. So I kind of like that concept where you can have fewer brands, but all robust, all financially healthy, and all able to become category leaders. That's what we are working on. That's basically the playbook that we have.
Well, so Shakey's undoubtedly the number one pizza brand here in the country. We got Potato Corner here as well because it's a category leader. I want to ask you also about R&B milk tea. Like you said, this is a very interesting acquisition. It's something that you brought in before the pandemic. You signed the dotted line before that one. Like you said, the category leader. It's a tough industry because everybody in milk tea. There are established brands. Mom and pop brands. It's all over the place. How do you apply also that sort of category leadership thinking behind R&B milk tea? Because the name still has to be built. People yes. are not so familiar with what makes it stand out versus others. Help me better understand also R&B milk tea in the whole Shakey's portfolio.
Again, like I mentioned earlier, we did stumble on the information that milk tea is one of the most ordered items in the food aggregators and delivery business, right? And we've seen, you know, many brands really grow in this category. And I was asked, why go into it? Well, we believe with the right product, there would be at some point some rationalization also. And if we could use our scale, the resources available to us at Spavi, and we get the right product with the right brand, we believe it could grow within the portfolio that we have. Remember, we have been very strong in our delivery business and also our digital. We've invested in our delivery and digital platforms in a way many years ahead of this pandemic, because we said, "Magta traffic ito." You know, people will get tired eating out, so they will be changing their habits to become someone who likes products in a convenient manner.
Speedy. So that was your initial digital transformation. Parang ganyan yung delivery platform, the pivot was supposed to be because of the traffic.
Yes, not because no one saw this coming. You know, no one. This was for me, as far as the industry is concerned, at least. No, I think this is a bona fide black swan event. No one anticipated it. The impact was really disruptive, game-changing. You tell anyone, you ask anyone in the industry, we will all say the same thing. This is definitely has changed the game, you know, and the business is affected forever. Okay, so we were working on this delivery and digital for a different reason. And I guess, again, divine providence, this pandemic forced people to really think about delivery. And it is just an accelerator of the whole thing. And the product, milk tea, works perfectly in that environment, in that platform. So it made sense for us. Plus, the milk tea in general, has very high margins. No, we like to have brands whose core products produce healthy margins. Because with healthy margins, you can do a lot to give back to the consumers. Pag manipis kasi yung kita, and this is true for anyone who likes to go into this kind of business. Pag manipis ang kita, it's so difficult to wow the guest. Ngayon, if you have good margins, but you keep it all to yourself and put it in your pocket or bank, and then you don't give it back to the guest, wala rin mangyayari. It's not going to be sustainable. But if you want to be differentiated, you want to wow, you've got to be able to afford to wow, right? So products and businesses that generate good margins has a very strong chance of being able to exceed the expectations of the target consumers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Very interesting. I like that. And that's things that you keep in mind. I remember reading another article in Shakey's as well when you acquired Potato Corn. The same thing. Great. It's a great margin business as well. And I guess when you reapply that one, it's also, you're able to, it's a great philosophy moving forward. I think that's what some people should keep in mind. Having said that, when Shakey's was acquired initially by Century Pacific Group, no, your first acquisition came, I guess you were acquired in 2016, but then the first investment made to grow outside of the pizza brand was Peri Peri, which is very another interesting story. It's actually a local brand. Tell us a bit more about that and why that worked also in your ecosystem. Was it also a category leader or a first in its category?
Okay. I'll go further back a bit. No, Shakey's, I came back in 2003 and the situation was rather difficult. There was no way to go but up. And from 2003 until 2016, it was all double-digit growth on top line and bottom line. So it was 14 years, I think, when the straight. And so the concept became very attractive. And the previous owners, the Prieto family, you know, they've been the stewards and they created this concept for many and managed this for many years. But organizationally or within the family, the succession plan was not in place. So, and collectively, they decided maybe it's time to endorse and give this baby to someone who can even grow it further. And that's where Century came into the picture. And I think Century saw a diversification opportunity. The chairman and the executives of Century thought they were very strong in the category of manufacturing, especially canned goods, which works. They're the leader. But as the economy at that time was really growing healthily and internal consumption in the Philippine setting was really a big thing, they didn't have a foot in that field. They didn't have a play on that environment. And that's where they thought we should try to invest in the food service. And they did have some experience with, they used to own Yoshinoya, Century Group. So Shakey's turned hands and it was now handled to a bigger group who always saw the opportunity of growing Shakey's further. But, you know, they're very prudent. We're very, you know, disciplined. You don't want to go into a hubris trap where you just grow and be very undisciplined about it, because I've seen many companies fall that way. So it took time. But when we went public, just 6 months after the acquisition of the Century Group, they saw that, hey, Vic, Shakey's is actually more ready to go public than Century was at that time, because Century was already publicly listed. they thought it would take 2-3 years before they would push through with a plan of going public so that to further fuel growth. But in just 6 months after being inside the business, they saw the opportunity to already go public. And so the thought and the expectation was, okay, this group with the increased war chest, they would go expand and buy. But I also believed in growing carefully. You first shoot bullets, RJ. When the bullet hits the bullseye, that's when you shoot the cannonballs. Bomba na agad. You know, you throw it. But you cannot throw the cannonballs right away, and you know the risk of failure is high. So you want to be careful. And once we saw the right opportunity, which the first one was Peri Peri. Why Peri Peri, you may ask? Filipinos, RJ, are really chicken-eating people.
That's right. That's right.
We cannot afford beef. We cannot afford seafood. No, sadly, we're archipelago, but we cannot. Seafood is expensive. Chicken is the main source of protein. And I remember, I used to be the startup employee of the leading category player in non-fried chicken. I helped set it up. I was employee 001. So you could say I had an inside view of what the category can become. So we tried to say, next to pizza, we got to go chicken. That was the basis of why we said, if we want to diversify, we want to make sure they would really complement. So you put now Shakey's and Peri Peri together, they will work just fine. They would supplement and complement each other. So that was
why choose Peri Peri, by the way? I hope you don't mind me asking. I mean, there could have been other smaller acquisitions for other smaller brands, mom and pop brands or other brands. Why Peri Peri?
On the contrary, there were opportunities to acquire the bigger brands also in that category. But sometimes, you know, no matter how much you try, pag hindi para sa'yo, hindi sa'yo. Mm-hmm. You can't force it. Pero kung talagang sa'yo yan, magiging sa'yo yan. So while we set our sights on another concept, which was almost instantly we can run it blindfold, okay, it wasn't available. So we had to go to the next best thing at that time because the Peri Peri was much smaller than the original target. But at the same time, Peri Peri was something we believe had something better in terms of the product offering, in terms of the potential. And so, again, sometimes even if you aim for something, something comes along which turns out better. It was a blessing in disguise. And when we began to realize and understand the potential of Peri Peri, we said, ito na yon. We will definitely take this one. I think what great timing for the seller, you know, because he sold it a few months before the pandemic.
Aspetti si Brian Chu, di ba? Brian Chu, a really great entrepreneur also, a teriyaki boy.
Oh boy, that man, Brian. Several,
really great entrepreneur.
Really a serial entrepreneur and really...
Exactly. Idol ko rin yan.
Okay.
But I also saw that, I just noticed recently that as well, you brought back Project Pi, which for me, I was very, you know, I live here in Makati. I used to go to the one in Park Square. I felt very, I love the concept. I felt very bad when they closed down, but you've decided to say, let's open it up again. What's the story with Project Pi, if you don't mind sharing?
Shake is growing rapidly and very well and sustaining it. We're always looking for the what's next, right? And in my visit to Shakey's USA, you know, in the West Coast, this category was on fire. Yung build your own pizza, artisanal. This was on fire. And we said, sooner or later, it's going to be down in the Philippine market. So, you know, instead of just waiting for them and competing, why don't we bring it ourselves? And that's what we did. But we already knew from the start it would be a niche. It would be a very special niche player, which will be the upscale artisanal pizza concept. Well, it would not be as big as Shakey's, but it can be number one in that category. And in fact, for a while, we reached 12 stores. But we also discovered and learned something along the way. You know, the Pinoy's nature talaga iba rin. They like to have almost everything in one store, you know? If you study the growth of Japanese concepts here, in Japan, RJ, I'm sure you're aware, if you're ramen, you're ramen. No? If you're tempura, you're tempura. It will not work here. Here in the Philippines, the Pinoy will expect to have ramen and then order tempura and gyoza, you know? So in the same way, Project Pi was being looked at to also provide meal deals, pastas, and eventually we had to rethink the strategy. And as the upper scale segment, the opportunities became, you know, narrow. So we made a strategic rethinking and retreated for a while. No? But a few months back, it went public, right? We had a very big investor coming in, Mr. Under Lance, Ms. Gokongwe, the junior, invested in Shakey's. And suddenly there's this synergies we have with the whole, you know, Robinson's group. And Project Pi came about, the return of Project Pi, when we saw the opportunity between Project Pi and some of their supermarket chains. And it's a win-win-win solution. You know, it's not win-win lang, RRJ. It's three wins. No? They win because they have to not to worry about developing their own pizza brand. We already have a brand for them. We win because we have a perfect opportunity to relaunch a Project Pi in a captured market. And more importantly, the biggest win is that we had a following of the brand, very loyal following, who always were looking for where are we going to open the Project Pi store. So with all of those three wins in place, I think the handwriting was clear. The handwriting on the wall was clear. It's time to come back. And that's what we did.
I'm very curious because I also hear right now that you've actually expanded also to UAE. Is that correct? To Dubai?
Yes.
Also the Singapore store?
You see, we already own Shakey's, the brand, in the Philippines, in Asia, including China, except Japan and Malaysia because they also bought the brand rights. So, and we own the Shakey's brand in the Middle East and Oceania, which is Australia, New Zealand. So basically, half the globe is our territory. And as we are growing Shakey's in the Philippines, and we've grown to almost 300 stores, we will have eventually to look outside Philippine shores. And Shakey's is still an American brand, RJ. It is very well-loved by the Filipinos. It has been with us since 1975, so it's very much a Filipino brand. But the advantage of marketing this brand internationally, it actually is an American pizza store, pizza brand. So Middle East was something that has been knocking on our doors, and we got to open four stores until the pandemic came. You know, we closed one in Kuwait, but all the four stores are up, and they just opened a new store. So that would be the next stage of Shakey's, you know, after developing the full potential of Shakey's in the Philippines, which is still a good 2-3 years. Internationally, it's a whole new runway. And that's where...
You also have Singapore. It's also Singapore one coming up. Is it open already?
It's supposed to have opened a month ago, but because of the pandemic, it had to be delayed. It's going to open in 2 months' time. I think that's the latest.
I see.
But it's already done. The store is complete.
Can't wait to try. I just have a question. I think many people are curious as well because... you know, when we look at the Shakey's brand, I know it was a U.S. pizza chain, right? But when you go, for me, if you don't mind me saying that, when I go to the States, people don't really know Shakey's anymore. They know the other brands more than they probably know Shakey's. But in the Philippines, it's like, this is your pizza brand. And how does it work? So you became very popular in the Philippines, and all of a sudden we were able to buy the rights to the Philippines, the name, the brand. How can you help us better understand the history?
Here's what few people know. Shakey's, the pizza brand in the U.S., first opened in 1954, okay? It was actually the first franchise pizza in the whole of U.S. So even before the other franchise concepts, KFC, and that, I think Shakey's was the one that started it all. That's their tagline. And they grew to a regional powerhouse of almost, I think, 400, 500 stores. But, you know, the U.S. is a very tough market. Now, mostly they're concentrated in the West Coast. They would have, I understand, the latest about 80 stores. And so now the Shakey's operations in the Philippines is the biggest Shakey's operations in the whole world now. So we happen to own the brand because somewhere in, I think, 1999, the U.S. guys just said, hey, you guys want to buy the brand? And we grabbed that because... we hardly got any support and service or any new ideas from the franchisor. So we thought it was a good opportunity. The Prieto family thought it was a great opportunity to just give them a one-time fee and then we just own the brand. Because we've been running the stores locally anyway. But the nice thing is, despite we have two different groups, the passion for the brand and the way we position the brand, there's a lot of similarities. It's family, it's fun. So the brand DNA was actually intact, whether you go to the US. And we are continue to commit to work together to see how to grow the brand globally. They own the Americas, North and South America and Europe. So that's a big market. And but we exchange notes and we think there will be a lot of opportunity to work together to grow the brand globally. But we have all these opportunities just with Asia and the Middle East. So it works well because Potato Corner already has a foothold in 12 countries, you know? So they were inside of the game. Right. But, you know, at least with Potato Corner, it would be easier because they were smaller investment, you know? The Shakey's brick and mortar box concept, the store economics is a bit higher, okay? So, but we see a lot of opportunity when we market the brands. It could be anywhere. Same with Peri Peri, because Peri Peri is a brand we own. We can put a Peri Peri in Singapore, in the region, or anywhere else in the world. So that's something that excites the group.
So can I order a manager's choice in the Philippines? I can also order a manager's choice in the US branch.
Yes, you know what? I was telling those guys, those friends that we have. You know what? There's a lot of Pinoys there. If you market your brand to the Pinoys, you'll probably have a good jump right away because they're mostly Hispanics, traditionally Hispanics. But in the West Coast, alam mo naman yan, RJ, maraming Pinoy.
Oh, daming Pinoy dyan. Oh.
I think we're the second biggest minority there. So if they just connect to the Pinoy market there, and what actually can happen is they can order and shake is there and have it delivered here, which we now do ourselves. But we'd be happy to partner with them. But again, you know, to each his own. They have their strategy and we have our own. So we'll just try to work together and see how we can have mutually beneficial programs.
Well, give me an idea lang for the people listening here right now. Just how many Shakey's are there in the country right now? How many did you open up in the pandemic? And then how about the other brands, Peri Peri, your R&B?
As of end of 2021, we have 316 stores already. Okay. The big majority of that is the Shakey's store, the Shakey's brand. But this is the nice thing. We ended up on the first year of the pandemic with basically net equal number of stores. So while the others had to downsize, so we ended up with exactly the same number of stores. We closed about 5 stores, but we also opened 5 stores. So net-net, it was neutral. We ended the 2020 with the same number of stores. 2021 was different. The first quarter was really showing very good signs of recovery, right? And we were able to develop designs and models that can be very profitable, even at lower average daily sales. So we had to look at the investment, produce smaller stores, and we were able to hit the same pre-pandemic ROIs or break-even periods. And so with that kind of very fast returns, very fast ROIs, we decided to just open more than 30 stores. And we gave a commitment to the investors that we would say, we will grow at least 30 stores. We easily exceeded that. And this year, we'll even be more. So Peri Peri has about 60 stores. When we started with this brand, we acquired 21 stores. So we're now 60, so it's almost 3 times. And then we have 2 R&B stores at the moment and 2 Project Pies. And we have the balance to be all Shakey's, which is something like 250. I think that's what we have.
And for Shakey's to grow in this pandemic, it really leveraged on because there was no dining, really because of the digital marketing and the delivery that you built that was able to really prop up the business. I mean, at least that's one part of the equation, I would think.
Well, we were luckier than most because we already had a very robust delivery system. Pre-COVID, there was already a healthy contribution from off-premise business. It was majority dine-in, but like I said, we already foresaw that off-premise will be growing. And so we have invested a lot of that. And so when the pandemic hit, it was a lot easier for us to pivot to to off-premise because we already had the platform. We already had the 777. We already had the supercard. We already had all of those digital assets.
I have a supercard, so you know this is you're preaching to the converted over here.
We were lucky to have focused on those things without even knowing this pandemic was coming. And so when we pivoted, it was a lot easier. And everybody had to think about delivery, off-premise, aggregators. And we were doing this years back. So it helped us navigate the pandemic. And it allowed us to stay afloat, so to speak. But down the road, we think it will be noise. You and I would like to have our families after mass go to dinner. I think eating out is still a social Pinoy thing. It will come back. We realize it will probably be not the same ratio as before, but definitely given the chance, Pinoy families would still want to socialize and eat out, right? So that's what we're preparing for. And the stores we're building are slowly going back to the usual sizes we built. Another advantage that we had was that even before the pandemic, we had different formats, RJ. We had mall stores. We had big boxes that are freestanding. We had strip malls. We had delivery only. We had ghost kitchens even before the pandemic. And all of the store models were proven and equally profitable. So when the pandemic hit and we need to cover more bases, we already had, you can just like pick and choose. And that's what we expanded. We stopped building the big boxes, the freestanding, for a while, because it made sense to come up with a small delivery-focused restaurant concepts. And again, the investors and the board were just happy to support the expansion plan because we were showing the same rate of return, the same payback period. But that flexibility is a big plus. So when you have different models, when you have different revenue streams, no, you're not limited to dine-in, you also have carry out, you have aggregators, you have delivery, you have functions and catering. All of those come into play, and there were more cards to play with. And we just had to make sure we play our cards well. That's basically how it goes.
Vic, there's a comment here coming from my friend Lance Luis Caviteño. Sabi niya, I miss the Shakey's Malate and Mabini brunch with live bands. Because for many of us, like for me, my experience with Shakey's, and I'm sure you remember this one, was Mine was the branch in along Pasirut Bayan, Ayala Avenue, the corner branch there was my favorite. That was I think one of the big branches in Makati, di ba? Where that's where I grew up. I grew up there where the band setup was there. That one is close to my heart. The brand that was in Greenbelt.
You know, I miss that too because that was the time I was working there as a staff. RJ, okay, it was fun. It was fun, and that time it was also a big hit. The Shakey's brand has evolved differently in the last 40 years, right? It started out as the first in Greenbelt, and then they saw the opportunity of to become the Inuman thing. And it was moneymaker, but something had to give. The crowd that was being attracted by this, Malate, was definitely not the family wholesome crowd. And when other drink places came along, okay, medyo the competitiveness of Shakey's also got affected. At some point, the brand DNA changed. So the brand went into QSR-like in the late 90s and early 2000s. It became almost like a QSR. We tried to compete with the giants, the Jollibees, and we crashed and burned. And when I came back, because I was a product of Shakey's, I know what ticks.
Yeah.
And even while I was managing other concepts outside, I was always looking at this brand because it's special to me. I came from there. That's where I got the dream of become somebody in the industry. So I owed a lot to the brand. And that's where I met my wife, Christy, RJ. She was working in Shakey's.
So marriage made in pizza. Marriage made with mojo.
Yes. So when I came back, I thought it was time to bring it back to the core DNA, which is fun, family, pizza. And so we transform it again, change it to, I brought back the communal chairs, the Tiffany lamps.
I remember
the casual service standards. And from then on, it was just all uphill. And that was great. It worked. It resonated. And we gave them all the reasons to go back. There was a lot of lapsed consumers. They love Shakey's. They miss Shakey's. They grew up with Shakey's, but they miss the the more wholesome, friendly thing. And when it was reintroduced, they just were so happy that it came back, and we benefited from it.
There are many successful executive produced by Shakey's. I mean, you're just one of them, Vic. I mean, Vic, in your generation, about your peers?
Many of the people I know holding key positions at one point used to work with Shakey's also, because we were the first thing. We were already there in the 70s, no? So you have a lot of people in the casual, you have a lot of people in... So yes, we're married to this industry. We're married to our passion is restaurant.
Very interesting. I want to go back to the comments box. It's really interesting here right now. Ricky Pashon saying, Shakey's concept is better than other casual dining restaurant. Iba pizza mo na yan, Ricky. May pizza ka na. May pizza ka na. Galing kay Vic. Okay.
Thank you, Ricky.
And then my good friend JP Sarabi, it's a nice comment over here. Diba? Hi, RJ and Vic. How does the supercard factor contribute to the overall Shakey's business? Which is great because you were saying different revenue streams. How does it tie up with the supercard concept? Because I love personally, this is what makes me buy a lot of Shakey's is the sort of supercard loyalty. How big of a business driver is this one? Maybe you can just give us anecdotally an idea.
It's huge. Supercard was our way of giving back to the many loyal consumers who has patronized the brand through the years. No? Loyalty is about making sure, you know, you take care of those guests. You cannot be everything to everyone, right? So, but there are people who really are hooked to your brand, and we need to recognize and pay them back. And so we thought of what if we give them, like, be part of a membership, be part of a exclusive group that would have all the benefits that we can afford to give. So basically, that's it. That's why there's a fee for that card, but the moment you just buy it alone, the instant thing you get would already cover that cost of that card. So, and you have the opportunity to avail of all the many special benefits that are made exclusive for SuperCard members. So we have a million or so members.
Wow, a million members for the SuperCard?
It is most probably the biggest restaurant chain loyalty program in the country. It's a million. And we think we've just scratched the surface. So that's...
Yeah, I mean... You can come up with your own e-wallet for a million members.
And, you know, there's a way to reach them. So when we think about something special to share, siyempre, kayo una, RJ, yung mga super guard. And I think that encourages everybody, hey, pero na kong super guard, kuha ka rin kasi hindi mo na-avail tong 40 off this, don't buy one, take one this. It's something, and we're glad to share this. There is cost to carry. But, you know, it encourages brand loyalty. And, you know, what's great now with more brands, sulit lalo yung supercard mo, RJ, kasi you can get more benefits, with not just with Shakey's, but you can get it with Peri Peri, R&B. And, of course, Potato Corner is now in the fold. You know, maybe we can have something for fortune for having a supercard, right?
Yeah, exactly. Come here. My son just delivered something to me. Thank you, speaking of supercard. Thank you so much. First sponsored meal, my anak, come here. So,
wow,
all the pizza, the garlic and cheese, kino na lahat.
I hope it was late, because if it was late, if it came more than 31 minutes, RJ, don't pay for it, please.
No, okay? This is perfect for me. I had it over here because, you know, like Jenny Santiago said over here, we love supercard. She loves the supercard. Yan. And then from Ses Tubo, Fun Family Pizza, they love the concept. From Dexter over here, Manansalas Avenue. Wow, pizza. Wow. Thanks so much for the pizza tonight, Shakey's. Really appreciate it. Now, having said all this one, Vic, no, the really interesting story is that you've had a long love affair with Shakey's. When did you start working there? The first time that you worked there for Shakey's?
Okay. Out of necessity, I had to work at an early age. Now, my first work actually in the food service was in Tropical Hut Hamburger. Okay. That brand was a chain even before Jollibee existed. Mm-hmm. I was in the 84, I think. Long ago, way back. And I first joined Shakey's in the 87, I think, 87. Because I heard, ang laki ng sweldo, ang laki ng tip. You know, I was working already. I was working with Tropical Hut, but I heard from my friends, para yung sa Shakey's, yung tip sa lamesa, sa yun. Since I like, anyway, I mean, my element, I like serving, I like smiling, taking care of my guests. It's a tropical hot, just like any QSR. There was no tips. So I said, hey, if I can bring this to Shakey's and I can wow them, I can really earn more. And that actually happened. I would, you know, the funny thing is, I would give my whole salary, RJ, to my mom. Okay? Not a single deduction or in any centavo, the whole pay. It was, they normally, they put it in a plastic with a paper summary of what their pay was, and it's stapled and it's there. Wala pang ATM nun, you know? I would give that to my parents. And they would be so proud, and you know, they would, but they don't realize just from the tips alone, they actually make the same or even more. So,
ah, talaga?
Yeah, yes, grabe at that time. So that's where I really got to learn about, hey, if you really treat and really make them feel like VIP, and if you really wow, it's actually very rewarding, not only in your heart, but also financially. And that really worked for me. And I was like in cloud nine working as a working student. So that really made up my mind that there's something in this industry. I graduated electrical engineering, you know, for
I'm an engineer.
Okay. But I said, I can have a career in engineering, but I'm talking to machines. I'll be facing transformers. And I think this is more fun. This is more cool talking. You meet people, different people every day. You have different challenges every day. You have opportunities to wow every day. And that's why I thought this was something I'd like to pursue. And there were mentors, no? So many of them said, Vic, bagay ka dito. Okay, bagay ka dito. This is your natural element. And the rest is history. And now for 39 years now, this is all I know, RJ, hanggang restaurant lang ang alam ko. I probably now would not be a very good entrepreneur yet. No, I would want to try that someday, but I'm a restaurant career guy.
Yeah, but you've done a fantastic job because of the niche expertise. Over here, back si Ricky Pasho, may comment ulit. Sabi niyo, you don't get buy one, take one with other resto cards. With Shakey's, it's sulit. That's why we get Shakey's cards. We get to eat pizza a couple of days straight. Eh.
That's what we hear.
Vic, may question lang ako. When you were with Shakey's, di ba, you started off as staff ka talaga, di ba? Sabi mo, they treat you muna dapat. Yung parang, tawag dito, trial by fire yan, di ba? Talaga, janitor ka muna. Talaga, they treat you like the janitor muna. Isa, you said at the start, parang initiation yan, di ba? Before you built your way up. Tell us a bit more how you moved up from staff hanggang naging operations manager ka sa Shakey's.
Okay. You're right. No? Kasi before, the people in Shakey's would think, oh, you're so lucky napasok ka dito because you can earn a lot more. We would earn a lot more than back then. And another big hit was working with McDonald's, no? U.S. McDonald's. But actually, they would pale in comparison with the amount of money employees in Shakey's make. So somehow, the folks in Shakey's, when there's a new hire, they want to kind of initiate you. And they would like to subukan kanila o may tiyaga ka o mayroon kang perseverance. And they would give you the most difficult jobs in the restaurant. They would make you wash dishes until your fingers are like, you know, the skin will peel off because of the washing and all. But it's a very good test of character. And then you would just say, pakawanan lang ako ng mga tuminsan dyan sa dining area. Papakitaan ko sila na how I can do it, how I can make a difference and add value. So I would just pray, no? Lord, pagbigyan lang ako. Kaya lang nila ako humawak ng table. Let me serve and wait on tables and I'll show them I can. So that was the mindset I always thought, if I'm going to do something, whether clean or wash the dishes or be a busboy, I might as well do it the best way I can, you know, or make people see ibang klase maghugas to, ibang klase magbus ng table ito. There's a chance they will not notice and recognize and reward, but deep inside, you can tell yourself, kaya-kaya ko to. I'm an expert in bussing tables. I'm an expert in carrying all of those soiled dishes. No? Ay, punong-punong pa yan. So you just aim for something that you don't want to be just like the rest. You want to be extraordinary, not ordinary. And I was always had that faith that if I do that, if I wow, eventually people will see and value it and they will try to wow me too. So that kind of continued until any position you have in any job, whether you're a crew dishwasher, supervisor, area manager, operations department head, there is no way, people will tell you there is no chance you can wow in that position. You just have to want it yourself. You just want to be that hungry to show I will be different. I will want to stand out. And by the way, what I've realized all these years, this thing does not apply only in work. It applies to your family. You can be, we can all be just ordinary dads. We can be special dads to our children, special wowing husbands to our wives, right? Wives, sorry, wife lang pala.
Okay. Wife lang, wife lang.
Wife lang, wife lang. Okay. And then, so that kind of principle carried on. And I bring it with me in every work environment that I get to join. I always, that's why I'm most inspired and driven if my bosses, the owners, also want to wow and grow. Through this, I probably will not be here now if I thought Chris and the family were not geared on excellence and growth. But because they are firm believers of that, you know, it's such a swell time working with this group. And the people we have all bought in. We're so lucky here because the culture and the trust, you know, the trust quotient in the organization is very high. It's the glue that ties us all together, different kinds of people from different walks of life. There is a commonality in the belief that we need to wow. And I think if there is one thing that has allowed Shakey's to be where it is now, it is because of that mindset and because of that philosophy.
Wow.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Over here, I like Balvin Hosenya saying, very inspiring, sir. I like that. This is exactly what I said. If I had Vic on the show, you'd be inspired by his example. And over here, people are saying what they enjoy about Shakey's is that, kay Lance again, sabi niya, I love Shakey's kasi hanggang ngayon, hindi nagbabago ang lasa ng mga classic pizza choices at lalo pang sumasarap. Yan, gusto niya talaga ng libreng manager's choice si Lance dito. And Francis Ojeda talking about the synergies of being in Shakey's, di ba? Of, you know, in the brand na not only in Shakey's yung buy one, get one perks ng Supercard, meron din R&B milk tea. Now, that's awesome. Erickson Watson saying, like the birthday pizza perks that they get. So yeah, I enjoy the birthday pizza perks. Marami mga Shakey's loyalists dito ngayon, I can see. Can you tell me a bit more lang, Vic? I know that you left for a while and then you were telling us that you came back and it was in dire straits. From what I read from the interviews, parang were you to fix up both financially the company and also from a marketing standpoint. Tell us what you had to do. What happened? What happened? You stepped out and then you saw that things had to change. What did you see had to be, I guess, tweaked to improve, to bring back the brand to its status?
Okay. You know, leaving Shakey's was one of the most difficult decisions I made the first time. You know, I actually cried with my boss. Kaya lang, there was family duties, you know. RJ, I need to help my family. It was a tough time for us. And even when I was a kid, it was a difficult environment. So I had dreams, you know, to change things. So when somebody probably noticed what I was doing in Shakey's, I got offers. I tell you, I got offers that was so hard to refuse because the impact to how I can help the needs of my family was just huge. So masakit man sa loob ko, I stayed for about 3 years lang the first time. So in 3 years, I was able to become the operations head of the chain from being a dishwasher in the beginning. So that was rather fast. It was a fast acceleration. And I think that also happened because at that time, it was the fastest growth spurt of Shakey's. You know, we opened something like 20 stores in 3 years. That was huge. Wow. By then. And so now there were opportunities to grow. And because some people stood out, then they became the natural options not to grow. And that's what happened. But the success of Shakey's, it was the by far the number one pizza chain in the 80s. And then others came in from other brands, local and US came in. That's the thing with becoming number one. That's the easy part. Sustaining yourself to be the leader and number one is the hard part. So what happened was, I can see from the outside, the market was evolving, the competitive scenario environment was evolving, but the strategy was stuck and they didn't adapt. So when I was first invited and to meet them, and I asked my bosses, what do you think we do differently that resulted to this? I said, well, the problem is you did not do anything differently. You did the same thing that made us number one in the 80s. And I should know because I was part of that team. So when I came back, I said, we definitely will have to change. And my thinking is bring the Shakey's back to the original family concept, casual dining. They will feel more comfortable. They would be happy to bring their children. They would be happy making those children play, run around the stores. They'd be more willing to pay more because of the ambiance, the quality, and the service. And that was my big gamble. So we went back and transformed the concept back towards something that was really familiar in the past, the family, fun family pizza positioning. So by changing that, we were able to adapt to the needs. And like I said, right after the first year in adopting that, the growth just started to spiral up. It was double-digit growth. And I remember my idol then was the former company I worked with, Chow King. I was with Chow King for a while as head of operation. And I was so amazed at how they grew Chow King when I left for a number of years. And I told my team, you know what? If we want a wow, you got to be better than before. You've got to be better than others. And we've got to be better than expected. And when you say better than others, the benchmark was that chain I used to work with. They grew so fast. They grew consistently, healthily for 7 years. That was the record. So we were already on our third year. I said, we will beat that 7 years. And before you know it, it was 8 years, 9 years, until it was 16 years. And as early as first quarter of March 20, I was almost 100% sure, RJ, we would be 17 consecutive years until the pandemic happened. So in hindsight, that kind of growth would have to end some way, somehow. And I'm glad now that it ended because of a global pandemic, not because of we mismanaged it, not because of a competitor killed us. So parang may lusot na ako ngayon. Tumigil. I was eyeing for 20 years, right? But natigil. So parang may magandang lusot a pandemic. But the goal now is to restart another run, which is the usual habit of this double-digit thing. So we're going to work on that one.
Okay. Wishing you another consecutive run after this one. But Vic, I want to ask also right now, you know, you were there when when you came back to the brand, right? That's 2003. When was that?
2003.
Up to 2016, you were running it for another company, it was a privately held company. And in 2016, they made the decision to I guess, get acquired by a bigger brand, by the Century Pacific people. And generally, when that happens, right, and then they launch it to the stock market, although it's exciting, it's also a bit scary for you. You might be, what were you thinking at the time? Because, you know, sometimes you might feel, oh my goodness, maybe if they go public, they might think that they might get somebody else to run the business. I mean, that might have been a concern for you, what's going to be my role in this newer, larger company?
Yeah, that's a nice question. My first job then, when I first heard the news they want to sell and they were buyers, my job then actually was to sell and market the brand and the company to get the best valuation, okay? So I had to really talk to all of the prospective buyers, why this brand is great, why there is still a big upside, okay? It's not like it's, you know, 35 years old and that's it. I brought the message across that we're just starting, we're just heating up. The potential of Shakey's is much more. But at the same time, at the back of my mind, because I knew it was almost like a total sale of the company, not just a minority investment. So there'll be a totally new set of majority owners. At the back of my mind and the rest of the team, paano na? Okay. But my when I was asked that by our people, I had to tell them, look, we had such a great story. That's why this became very attractive. And anyone who buys this would probably think, how can I make sure we can sustain that kind of growth trajectory? And because the track record speaks for itself, I was also somehow a bit confident, okay, that the performance is above industry standards. And therefore, anybody who has the plan to buy this would have to rethink about, do I just change everything because gusto ko lang, right? They would want to find the solution. How do we sustain that? And that's exactly what I'm thinking now. You know, we don't come into the new branch where we'll just change everything, make it shaky. That's not the way to do it. This branch became the leader and became successful because of their unique intrinsic characteristic and the way they execute it. So we just have to make sure we learn. And with that in mind, I also had a feeling that I think they would want to keep the team. And it was proven when that was part of the arrangement. That was part of the deal. We will buy this, but we want to make sure the team stays intact. The truth is, not a single soul was replaced by the new owners, RJ. Not a single. There was, wow, except for one position, which is the finance head position. And only because the incumbent that we had we had was 82 years old and has been a family mainstay, you know? So that's why Mr. Paraiso, God bless his soul, is already up there. That was the only position they changed. The Century Group just brought in one people in the fold, in the team, and that was the head of finance, because the incumbent was 82 years old, RJ. And so I think that spoke a lot about their confidence in the group. And, you know, the good thing is the performance was very good. And so there was that fear, but it was easily, you know, overcome by, oh, now the challenge will be, how do we make sure that the new buyers will be happy and we can deliver? That was now the big question. So it was there, that fear I had. I was preparing, worst case, but it didn't materialize.
Wow.
And it was replaced. So, now, how do we now wow the new set of owners? Okay. For me, that's a more important task. Pangit naman, di ba? Pag laki ng binili nila, tapos nalugi, di ba? Nakakaya. I couldn't live with that.
Talking about the wow, I remember hearing a talk from you now, Vic, that the thing about, you know, wowing people in this time of hyper competition, because, you know, nowadays, you know, pizza is almost commodified, di ba? Commoditized, di ba? Kasi ang daming mga bagong pizza brand, ang daming gumagawa ng pizza sa bahay, ang daming mga boutique brands. And people often ask yourself, you know, how do you continue to keep it, I guess, fresh and unique and innovative? How do you keep your step up above competition? Because I notice, like, you know, I see the commercials of Lucky Mansano, di ba? Doing all these different variants. I'm guessing, oh, that must be one way that they're doing it. They come up with new flavors all the time. But what else do you guys do to make sure there's a competitive factor that keeps Shakey's above everybody else?
You see, the wow work, like I said, was like one of the main reasons we were able to do what we did. But it was a different setting. It was growth and the economy was really much improved. The pandemic actually made us realize that the wow is universal. The wow thinking applies even in a crisis. And when you look at the definition that we have made with wow, better than before, better than others, better than expected. It's even in this cup, you see, better than before, better. It's a formula. Very simple to understand. And if you think about it, in a pandemic, if we delivered before only in select areas and guarantee, it's not better than before. But what if we can make sure, even in a pandemic where everybody's ordering for delivery, we can even provide something more. So it has to be better than before. What if we say your house may be in the farthest part of the Metro Manila, on the fringe of a Bulacan or Laguna, but what if I can deliver the pizza you like in 31 minutes or it's free? No ifs, no buts. So this kind of thinking makes you want to find solution that would make you better than before. The better than others, I'm a very competitive type of guy, right? Sports made me do that. Okay? It's always, when there's competition, it's healthy because it forces you to become better. Okay, you don't want to be joining a basketball tournament and you're the kulelat, right? You want to be the champion, right? So you want to have to make sure you're better than others. And that means you need to really understand them, know them, respect them. You cannot just say, you cannot belittle everybody. Sapul ka doon, madadali ka doon. So we want to have, okay. And I think in a positive way, it helps the industry because the standards go up and the consumers benefit. I'm sure others would come along and say, I can do it in 29 minutes. Then we'll just have to work towards making it 27 minutes. So that concept of being better than others still is very relevant. You cannot just throw the towel and say, wala, logi negosyo, so wala na tayong choice. We cannot be better than others. It's not the way. And lastly, better than expected. The consumers have been affected by the pandemic. All of us somehow have changed. And our expectations is now different than what it was pre-COVID. The task for each company and each brand is to understand how the consumers have changed, what are their new expectations. And of course, not to meet those expectations, but to exceed them. So whether you're selling plants, no? Right now, uso yung plantita, right? How will you get more business if you're just like everyone else? Or even worse, you're even less than others and less than expected. You will not succeed. But if you have the best plants, the healthiest looking plants, and then they're priced very attractively, they'll buy from you and they'll tell everybody, punta kayo doon sa Silang. There's this guy who sells the best plants and you'll be so masaya. And the word of mouth will spread. So the wow thing is actually even more relevant in a very difficult situation like a crisis. And that has been our guiding principle. And we believe we are now in a better position to take advantage of the opportunities. Once the dust has settled in this pandemic, and it will soon come, there'll be different opportunities now. But if you're now positioned to take advantage of that ahead of everybody else, then that's going to be good news for everybody. And again, like I said, for me, it can mean growth and it can mean better opportunities for every stakeholder, employees, that's especially right. Employees, especially.
And they're saying over here, see, I want to read the comment of Surreptitious Darn dito sa ating chat box. Sabi niya, truly inspiring CEO. Yes, that's why I said I'm so happy to finally have Vic here in the program because many people are very inspired by
him.
And Ricky Pashot telling us, still is the number one pizza chain in times of pandemic, and because you know why? Because of the wow factor. Vic, I wish we had more time. I mean, we could keep on going on in tonight's podcast. But maybe as we start to close out, though, I mean, there are many entrepreneurs listening to here right now, and they're thinking right now, what can we do? What can they? People are thinking right now. Are there still new opportunities that you see emerging in the FMB business or in the whole FMB ecosystem where entrepreneurs can still succeed? Are you seeing any opportunities? Of course, not to compete with Shakey's, or your other brands, but I'm sure that you're seeing some areas where they can still grow in the F&B industry.
My answer is a big yes. The pandemic has kind of leveled the playing field. It doesn't mean you're small now or starting, you're not going to win against the big guys. Because of the pandemic and the way the consumers' habits have changed, the online business, the digital channels provides entrepreneurs the opportunity. I never imagined I would shop online before, RJ. Mm-hmm. But whenever I buy, I need something in my house or in my farm or of spare parts. It's amazing how being just checking online provides you all of the answers. So for the entrepreneurs, they just have to be sure of what they want to become, what areas are they passionate about, and that they can compete in a wowing way. I will sound like a broken record, but if you're going to do something, go into a business, then trip lang, okay, para lang may business, I don't think it's really going to work. You've got to go all out. Make sure you give it your darnest best because you really want to provide something superior than what others would have. Now, some people might think, but I have to be a big company to do that. I disagree. You can be selling, you know, Turon online or this kind of house decor or candles or whatnot. There's a way to wow. Again, just use the three guides that I put. No, it's like, you know, the rotary four-way test. For me, the wow test is simple. Is it better than before? Is it better than others? Is it better than expected? If it's all check, then it's a wow. If it's all X, it's criminal. Goodbye. Okay, if you get one check out of the three, pwede na, but you won't last. If you get two out of three, you know, better than before, better than others, better. If it's a three, you're going to wow. If it's two, it's desired. Very satisfactory. You would have a good chance. But the guaranteed approach is whatever business you go into, big or small, the thing is you got to try to be the best you can be and go for excellence and wow. It applies big or small.
And talking about the wow that you want to see, I'm looking behind you. I see a board saying, do what's next. What's next for Shakey's here in the Philippines and across the world?
It used to be what's next only with a question mark. But because of this crisis, we said, wag na question mark. Let's just do what's next. Okay. We have to look forward all the time. Data comes into play. We try to understand what's going on. Really granular, really up close. We've been meeting since March 16, since the start of the pandemic, every day, Mondays to Fridays, no skipping, because we wanted to see exactly how the small little parts are moving along. And what we see now is we now have new brands. The potential of these brands are huge. So Peri Peri, we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. It can easily be 100 plus stores. We have Potato Corner now, which can conquer the world even more. We have the Milk Tea, which can start growing independently and not just be attached to the Shakey's ecosystem. And we have Project Pie, which can be the strong niche player in this better pizza category. So there's a lot of work ahead, and we welcome them, we embrace them, because that will just mean when there's problems to solve, that means there's opportunities.
Exactly. Like they say, no? Albert Einstein once said that in every great crisis, there is great opportunity. Or Weiji.
That's already true. Very true.
Exactly.
Cliche even. But
and over here, just one last comment coming here from Frank Gal Bagasbas. Sabi niya, nice to see my big boss again.
Oh, hi, Frank.
Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. I think that just like everybody listening here to the show, I'm so happy to see all the comments here right now. For Vic, guys, if you appreciated Vic here right now, please send a word in the comment box. It was such a great session. A lot of great insight for me, especially being somebody from the food and beverage industry. Again, Vic, thank you so much for your time. I hope everybody learned a lot. Next episode is coming Thursday. I've got somebody coming out as well who will be teaching about the Year of the Tiger, a great feng shui expert who is actually a management engineering graduate from Ateneo, and he's also at the same time, he's done his MBA. But his background is in feng shui, so you'll get to learn a lot about what you can expect for this coming year in the Year of the Tiger. Again, Vic Gregorio, thank you so much for coming here to
thank
the show.
You,
this has been the RG La Desma podcast. If you like the podcast here tonight, please subscribe to our podcast on of course, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much. Ricky Pasho, yes, we'll definitely do a part two together with Vic Gregorio. Again, thanks so much. This is RG La Desma. We will see you guys again next Thursday. Thanks so much. Big stay around.
Thank you. Bye. Stay safe.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.